Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
Father, I just thank you for your house. Thank you, Jesus, for your goodness. Holy Spirit, help me to speak your words. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, last week you would have heard, if you're here, and I encourage you, if you want to catch the podcast, and not to blow my own trumpet on messages, but it's a good message that's foundational about our mandate to share the gospel, to be effective with that. And I'm actually going to continue on that vein this morning, because we're in a season of others. We're talking about and investing into others outside the four walls of our church, how we can be effective in the way that we live our lives and how we can be disciple makers. Does that sound good? So we're going to speak this morning. I'm going to get you to turn to, or you can check it on the screen, Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 20. One day, as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, throwing a net in the water, for they fished for a living. Okay, good info. Don't you like the way the Bible can be so just there? They're fishermen. Cool? I find it funny. Anyway, Jesus called out to them, "Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." And they left their nets at once and followed him. Many years ago, when I was about 6 years of age, I was with my family. We went for a fishing trip. Oh, it's a long time ago, isn't it, Michelle? Do you know, Michelle looks and she goes, "Can you remember that long?" Yes, it is a long time ago. Yeah, 43 years ago to be precise. Anyway, so we're on this family holiday in Durian Bay, and my dad's a bit of a fisherman, and he enjoys fishing, and so this was a family holiday where we went fishing. And this one morning, he says to me, "Come on, Dave, Stu, my brother, let's go fishing." So we gathered our stuff together. I had a brand new little flick rod. You know those little ones that kids get? Yeah. Not the pink one. I had the blue one, all right? The little fishing rod, so I had all the kit there, and we went out to the jetty, and he cut the bait up, he made my rig up, he got the line ready, he put the bait onto the hook, and he said, "Now, go and drop your line in the water and see how you go." Well, I did that, and lo and behold, within about 3 seconds, I kid you not, bang, I get this fish, and I reel this thing in, and I walk up to Dad, and I've got this fish on the end of the line, and he proceeds to take it off the line, and he gives me another piece of bait and puts it on the hook and says, "Off you go." Well, I don't think my dad realized, but this was going to be a repeating process, because for the next 10, 15 minutes, it was just fish after fish after fish after fish. And I'm like, this is cool, right? All of a sudden, I've learned how to be a fisherman, and I'm catching all these fish. Anyway, about 20 minutes into it, I'm just catching fish after fish. My brother wasn't having so much success. I don't know why. Anyway, just saying. Fishermen and there's not fishermen. I catch another one, and I come up to my dad and I hand him the line, and he takes it and goes, "Come on, mate, give me a chance to get my line in the water." And I was reflecting upon this story, I was just thinking through, there was something that my dad did that was missing in the process. He was giving me the tools that I needed to go fishing, but there was something missing that Jesus told the disciples in that moment. And I want you to catch this. See, screen, do as you're told. There we go. There's this particular line, you know, and it says this: Jesus reveals a missing piece when he actually says the words to Simon and Andrew, "Come follow me and I will show you how to fish for people." Jesus was very intentional with his words. He didn't just say, "Come, let's go fishing, let's go fish for people." He says, "I will show you how to fish for people." Now, it's not that my dad got it wrong. He didn't get it wrong. He just didn't show me how to do it. He didn't show me how to cut the bait. He didn't show me how to make up a rig. He didn't show me how to take the fish off the line. And as a result, he didn't get to fish. Had he shown me how to fish, we could have both been effective. We could have both been fishing in that moment. We could have both become fishermen in that moment. So, the question I have for you this morning is, do you know how to fish for men? Have you been taught? Do you know what it is to go fishing for the gospel? Has someone led the way for you and shown you how to actually do it? You see, I can sit here and talk about it, and I can say, we've got to go and do it. But if I don't show you, then I'm not doing my job. I'm not giving you the instructions. And so this morning, I want to do a really, I guess, a really practical sermon this morning, a very practical message. So the title of my sermon is this morning. It is Equipped to Fish. Are you equipped with the tools that you need to fish for men? Has someone taken you fishing and shown you how to do it? And there's going to be a few fishing analogies. It might get a little bit cheesy. It might get a bit corny in the process. But, you know, just the understanding that if I don't give you the practical to go with go, then I'm not doing the process any justice. So what is it that Jesus did to show his disciples how to fish for men? You know, as I said, we're just going to look at some practical tools, and we're going to turn to a passage in Luke chapter 10, and we're going to read about Jesus sending out the 72. Now, before we actually go into that particular passage, it's really important to realize that there are some givens when it comes to disciples in the Bible. Jesus, in sending out the 72, prior to actually doing that, he had made sure that he had spent time with them, right? So these guys had spent time with Jesus. He didn't just willy-nilly grab Andrew and Simon and go, off you go fish. He didn't say to them, you know what, I've called you, just go. He actually spent time with them. He gave them instruction. And if you look at the chapters preceding the time that he sends the 72 out, these guys spent a lot of time listening, gleaning, receiving, being taught what it is to present the gospel. All right? And then we come along into Luke chapter 10, and we read this. And it says, then the Lord chose 72 other disciples and sent them ahead in pairs into all the towns and places that he planned to visit. Interesting that he planned to visit them as well, sending them ahead of him. These were the instructions he gave them. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray the Lord, who is in charge of the harvest, and ask him to send more workers into the field. Now go. Everyone say, go. And remember that I am sending you out as lambs among wolves. Don't take any money with you, nor a traveler's bag, nor extra pair of sandals, and don't stop and greet anyone on the road. Whenever you enter someone's house, first say, may God's peace be upon this house. If those who are there are peaceful, the blessing will stand. If they are not, the blessing will return to you. Don't move around from home to home. Stay in one place, eating and drinking what they provide. Don't hesitate to accept hospitality, because those who work deserve their pay. If you enter a town and it welcomes you, eat whatever is set before you. Heal the sick and tell them the kingdom of God is near you now. But if a town refuses to welcome you, go into its streets and say, we wipe even the dust of the town from our feet to show that we have abandoned you to your fate. And know this, the kingdom of God is near. And then we jump down to verse 17. It says, when the 72 disciples returned, they joyfully reported to him, Lord, even the demons obey us when we use your name. So, what are the key things that we find out of this passage? I mean, there's a lot in there. We could spend weeks on just that particular passage, but I'm just going to draw a couple of things, a couple of analogies and a couple of metaphors that I think are going to help us. First is this. You are chosen to fish. You're chosen to fish. Jesus turned to the disciples, the 72 of them. He chose them and said, off you go. So often, we actually sit there and think, I need to be told, go. You know what? Right from the outset, if you know Jesus, you're chosen. If you're chosen, no matter who you are, no matter where you come from, you've been chosen. Remember Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, where God says that he's prepared good works for us to go and do it, even before we knew him. So you come to know him, and these good works were prepared beforehand, so he says, now go. You're chosen. I've chosen you. Note that Jesus chose 72 other disciples. These guys are not named. They're not mentioned, anything about who they are. We don't know their backgrounds. We don't know if they were fishermen. We don't know if they were tax collectors. We don't know if they were carpenters or whatever. They're just 72 other disciples. We know nothing about them. All we know is Jesus says, I choose you to go and be my disciples, to go and be the ones who make disciples. Now, if you, as I said, if you know Jesus, you've been chosen to fish for him. But often we hear these things, yeah, but I'm not the preacher. I'm not the one who's got the microphone. I'm not the one who goes and tells. No, that's your job. No. We're all disciples. We've all been chosen. But I don't have a testimony. Oh, there's a good one. Do you know what? Everyone has a testimony. Every one of you has a testimony. What's a testimony? A testimony is simply this. What has Jesus done in your life? What has he changed in your life? Has he given you hope? Yes, he's given you hope. Then you've got hope to share. Has he given you a transformed life? Were you saved from a drastic past? Fantastic. You've got a story to share. Was I not saved from a drastic past? Well, I was saved from sin. I've got something to share. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11 says this, they overcame him, the enemy, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Do you know what? Your testimony overcomes the enemy. Your testimony is powerful. Your testimony is something that God gave you because it's what God's done in your life. So you've got something to share. So often I hear people say, I don't have a testimony. Yes, you do. And do you know what? It's not actually about you. It's actually about what Jesus has done. It's not actually about worrying who you are. It's more concerned about Jesus has done this. I'm going to share it. You've been chosen. Wouldn't it be better if one of the pastors go and the leader spoke? No. I'm sure that when the 72 were sent out, they had reservations. And do you know what? Jesus was taking a risk with sending the 72 out. As I said, unnamed, unknown. His name was on the line. Jesus' name was on the line. Sure, the people would love to have seen Jesus. We note that Jesus said he sent them out to places that he planned to visit, right? So the people were expectant that Jesus was going to come into their town. There was a buzz in the air when Jesus was on the earth. There was an understanding that this guy, this miracle worker is coming around. And all of a sudden, one of the disciples knocks on the door and they're like, what, I get you? I don't get the real thing. You know what? You are the real thing. You are the real thing because Jesus is in you. Jesus is part of you because he has placed his hope in you. He places his trust in you. In the same way that he sent those disciples in his name, he places his trust in you and he sends you in his name. You are chosen to send and be the gospel in this world. Is this good? Are we okay? Excellent. All right. Number two, you are empowered to fish. You are empowered to fish. When I look at verse 3, we note an important word. Jesus says to the disciples, now go. That's an instructive word that comes with it, the understanding of empowerment. And also he says, heal the sick and cast out demons. They did not go under their own authority. They went under the authority and the name that is above every name, the one that we've been singing about this morning. They were empowered to go and fish in his name. They were empowered to declare that the kingdom of God is near to you. When Jesus sends us on a fishing trip, he gives us everything we need. Not part of it. Not, I'll do the rig for you. Not, I'll cut the bait for you. No, he gives us everything. Remember, the most important piece of tackle that you have in your tackle box is empowerment. Look at Acts chapter 1, verses 8. It says this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses telling people everything about me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. The Holy Spirit is the most important piece of kit that you have in your tackle box. It's the empowerment to go and speak, the empowerment to understand and hear his voice and to know what to say in that moment, the empowerment to understand and be the one that actually represents the name of Jesus. Does that mean that we get it all together? No. It doesn't mean that we're perfect. We will not be perfect until we reach eternity. But I can tell you right now, because you carry the name of Jesus, you have the hope that you carry with you. You're empowered to take that word with you. You're empowered to reach the unsaved and to speak the name of Jesus into this world. You are empowered. He is our enabler. He is the one who gives us everything we need to go and do it. We are empowered to go in the name and in the authority in the name of Jesus that is above every name. You are empowered to fish. Next one. Fish where they're biting. Now, if you know anything about fishing, if you cast your line in and they're not biting, what do? You go to another spot. But Jesus is very specific about this. He actually says in that verse where he says, don't go from house to house. When the fish are biting, you'll learn this as a fisherman. When the fish are biting in one spot, the last thing you're going to do is pull your line up and go, yeah, you know what? I've had enough. I'll move on. If the fish are biting, I can tell you, you keep fishing, right? You don't stop. You keep going, because when the gospel is being received, why would you stop throwing the bait out? When the gospel is being taken on board, why would you ever stop? One of the things, you know, I probably painted my dad in a bad light, you know, in the whole context of he didn't show me how to fish. The reality is he did show me how to fish eventually. And there's quite a rivalry between us. And you know, when we go fishing together, it's just like this fun game. We go together. It's really, really enjoyable. But the one thing he instilled in me and he taught me over the years is to be patient, first of all, but secondly, don't stop casting and don't move from your spot when they're biting. That's the last thing you do. Now, I know this sounds very basic, but it's a foundational. Move on. Why move when we have the opportunity to catch more fish? Why would you, when people are receptive to the gospel, why would you actually stop casting out your line? You know, to use a fishing analogy, the only time you ever stop or move on from a good fishing hole is when you've reached your bag limit. Now, if you understand anything about bag limits, does anyone know what bag limits are? Yeah, when you go fishing, right, you've got a certain amount on certain species that you can and can't take with you. When you reach your bag limit, you've got to stop. That's really frustrating when they're biting, right? But this is the same. In the circumstance where you get your bag limit, what do? Bring a friend. Because when a friend comes along, he gets his bag limit as well. Well, why not bring another friend and get their bag limit as well? Fish in the same spot together. Do you know, as fishermen, we don't like to tell people where good fishing holes are. Hey, with the gospel, tell you what, come on, when you know that they're biting, share it with your friends, spread it around. We've got to bring in the reinforcements. Time to bring in the reinforcements. Have a look at verse 2. Jesus highlights the importance of this. He says, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray the Lord who is in charge of the harvest, the one who's in charge of getting them to bite, ask him to send more workers into the field. Jesus knew that there's strength in numbers. Jesus knew that when they're biting, get some reinforcements. Get the team on board. Get everyone involved. Bring a friend along on your fishing trip. When you're biting and you know for a fact that there's more to catch, get your friends in and join in the process. You know, if my dad had been able to get his line in the water that day, I can just imagine that we would have had a massive catch and we could have had so much more to actually enjoy. It's the same with the gospel. Let's make sure that we get our friends along for the ride. One last thing in this whole section too is there may come a day that you run out of bait despite the fact that they're still biting. There may come a day, you know, when you go fishing that you like, oh my goodness, we've run out of bait, but they're still going. What's going on here? Let's put that in the context of the gospel. There comes a day where you're going out fishing and you feel like you've got nothing left to give. I've run out of bait. Do you know what? Right then and there, that's the time to just take an assessment and just go, I haven't spent time with Jesus enough. I need to go back to the source. I need to go back to the tackle shop. I need to go back to the bait shop. I need to increase my reserves. I need to get some more bait. I need to make sure that I clean my equipment. I need to get some more word into me. I need to get more Jesus into me so that we can be more effective. If ever you're in that moment and they're still biting, go back to the source. Get more of Jesus into your life. Remember, it's a fishing trip. you go on a fishing trip. And every time you go on a fishing trip, you always have to come back. So when you come back, spend time in the source. Replenish yourself. Alrighty, moving on. The next thing. Fishing can be hit and miss. Trust me, my wife knows what it's like. I come back empty-handed quite often. Fishing can be hit and miss. Yeah, when I read verses 10 and 11 of this passage, I must admit, I actually found this one a little bit hard to swallow, a little bit hard to grasp at times, because when I read the whole concept of going to the edge of the city and wiping the dust off your feet and going, well, I'll leave you to your own fate, that one kind of sits heavy. Just that whole concept. Sometimes, this is the reality, sometimes fish just don't bite. And can I just say to you, it's okay. It's okay. It's all part of the adventure. But that never stops the fishermen from trying again and again and again. They continually go out there. Maybe you just need to try a new spot. Sometimes the fish just aren't hungry. Sometimes they don't like the bait that you're giving them. But the reality is, we look at it and we go, the conditions are perfect. You know, you look out over the ocean and you've got this nice flat ocean and the sun's shining and it should be perfect. Sometimes the fish just don't bite. That's just what it is. Don't let that stop you from sharing the word. Don't become despondent when people reject the gospel. Keep trying. Knock on another door. Try a new spot. Have you lost your confidence? You know what? Metaphorically, dust off the sand and try something else. It doesn't matter. Get all your gear ready and start planning your next trip. If they don't bite, it's okay. They're not rejecting you. Let me say that again. They're not rejecting you. Sadly, they're rejecting Jesus. It's not about you. We saw this before. It's about Jesus anyway. Remember, ours is to simply tell them the good news. What they do with that news is up to them. We can't force fish. I can tell you right now, I've been fishing and I've seen them. I've cast into it and I see them there. And they sit there and they come up to the bait and they move on. It's so frustrating as a fisherman. You know what? It's also quite frustrating as someone who shares the gospel. When someone doesn't receive it, but it's not your responsibility. Your responsibility is simply, I will share the word, I will share the gospel, I will give the gospel because that's my task. I've been chosen, I've been empowered, and now I've just got to go and do it. Does that sound good? It's the role of the Holy Spirit to deal with the word once it's been sown. Alrighty, moving on. Next one. Time's getting short. Fishermen brag about their catch. Yes, we do. Fishermen are a little bit like someone who runs a marathon. How do you know if someone's run a marathon? They'll tell you about it. All right, fishermen are the same. Once I caught a fish this big. You know, we all know those stories of the one that got away. Yeah. Fishermen love to brag about their story. They love to tell a good story. They get their photos out and they show you. And the best part of a fisherman who brags about his catch is that it encourages other people to go and fish as well. That's why we brag about it, because we want other people to enjoy the process. Why then should we not brag about it when we share the gospel with someone? Look what happened to the disciples in verse 17. When they returned, they were filled with joy, saying, even the demons bowed to your name, Jesus. What did that do? It instills faith. It instills faith in others. When we come home and tell other people, you know, when we get wind of a good catch, it encourages them to go out themselves. You know, maybe we should give it a go. Monday looks good. Yeah, let's go and give it a go. Tomorrow looks good. Yeah, let's give it a go. This afternoon looks good. Let's give it a go. Guys, when you get around people who are gospel sharers, it encourages you. It brings joy in your heart. Surround yourself with that. Fishermen love to brag about it. When the 72 return, as I said, they are filled with joy. Imagine a room filled with joy. I got to share the gospel this week. I actually did this week. I was challenged from, I'll just say, our senior pastor, who sat a number of our staff in the room and just said, hey guys, when was the last time you personally shared the gospel with someone? And that's not apart from standing here with a microphone and giving the gospel. That's going out and just sharing your faith. And I'll tell you more about that in a minute. Hey, the last thing that fishermen are really good at, the last point this morning is this. Fishermen are committed. Fishermen are committed. Matthew chapter 18. Sorry, not 18. It's actually Matthew chapter 4, verse 20. In our first text that we started with this morning, it says, "And they left their nets at once and followed him." And right at that point, the brothers, Simon and Andrew, made a commitment. They put aside their livelihood and they said, "We will go." Fishermen are committed. No matter sometimes the circumstances, it might be blowing a gale outside, it might be horrible weather, but if a fisherman wants to fish, he will go and fish. He will go and do it. Fishermen are ready to go at the drop of a hat. If they get wind of the fish that are biting, they're in. When they see an opportunity, they jump at it, and they're willing to count the cost. I can just say, believe me, my wife says to me, "Why don't you just get your wallet, go down the ocean, and just empty it into the..." Because that's what fishing is. It just costs you a fortune. Fishing costs. It can be an expensive sport. Why don't you just go and buy fish and chips, right? But here's the point. No, I know. I'm just having fun. It's okay. We do love each other. It's all good. Here's the point. Imagine the cost to Andrew and Simon on that day. Whew, they put everything aside. We're in. They're committed. Is the gospel going to cost you something? As the musicians draw me. Possibly. Will it cost you your time? Possibly. Will it cost you, as I said last week, that late night phone call that interrupts your sleep? Will it cost you? But it's about being committed. Sharing the gospel is about being committed to what God's got for you, because you are chosen, you are appointed, you are empowered. You just need to know where they're biting. And if they're not biting, try somewhere else. It's about being committed.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.